Again, our scripture today will be from Psalm 103, which you just sang this morning, a scripture we're particularly familiar with, but there's something about it that just really jumped out that I'd like to share with you in verse 3. So we'll be looking at Psalm 103, verse 3, and we'll be focusing on the first part of it. I'm going to read verses 1 through 3 for us and then repeat verse 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Let me read verse 4. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with the loving kindness and tender mercies. And let me read the first part of verse 3 again. That's what we'll be looking at together today. Who, the Lord, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. We want to give ourselves to just really meditating on that today and to be blessed by that. He forgives your iniquities, and the word we're going to emphasize today is all. We need to be reminded of that. He forgives all our iniquities. Well, I want to thank you for the mandatory vacation the last 2 weeks. It was a great blessing to us. And I wanted to preach a sermon for you during that time. It's the one today because I was so eager to preach it. But I decided to obey the elders and I didn't do anything like that. And that's partly why we're not returning to Deuteronomy today or Philippians tonight. But also it was another busy week with a lot of good things. And so it's helpful to be able to do a topical sermon for you. But I really just was eager to bring the scripture today to hopefully bless you as it blessed us. Elder Renner and I had some time in prayer on the phone, and we'll often use something to guide our prayers. We turn to Psalm 103, and verse 3 really jumped out to us. Thinking about what it says, consider what a glorious experience it is to make that final payment on a credit card or an auto loan or a home loan, you know, especially if it's a house. It's like, wow, you know. Try to think about what it is, all those payments behind you, and not 1 cent left to be concerned about. What an ease of mind that is to live life now, right? And when that car is paid for, you drive away that time from your parking spot, and it's a whole different experience, right? You know, and you have that house. It's just an amazing thing. Every penny is paid for. Imagine the joy of that, the freedom of that. You know, I've often shared, I think I did recently in a sermon on finances from the Proverbs recently, but Dave Ramsey's ministry about getting out of debt, people will call in after getting out a great amount of debt that they owe, and they said, I finally paid out all this debt and a lot of debt. And he plays from Braveheart, freedom, you know, and they yell, freedom, because it is such an amazing experience to have your debts paid and to be free of owing someone. And that's what the glorious thing to think about is with our text today. God forgives each and every one of your sins. That's the main idea of this little piece of the verse. God forgives each and every sin that you have, which is amazing because remember, Christ talks about if you don't have your forgiveness from God, you are going to pay the last penny in hell. You never stop paying. You will always owe a debt to God. You know how we always feel when we can't make it right with someone, we can always ask for forgiveness. We can't make it right. We always kind of have that in mind. With God, we would be paying for our sins forever in hell. We would never be done paying the debt. But God forgives each and every sin. We look at the word all today. We highlight the word all. I encourage you to just really screw that in your skull and meditate on it this week, especially when you feel convicted of sin, held down by sin, tempted to sin. God has forgiven all your sins. All. We focus on the word all, but we think of it connected to the word iniquity in the text. Iniquity means your sins, your transgressions, all the ways that you violate the law of God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4 teaches us that sin is the transgression of God's law. Later on, he says it is unrighteousness. That is, live in an unholy way, thought, word, or deed, in a way that violates God's law. And Romans 6:33 teaches us that the wages of sin is death. So having violated God's law, an eternal God, one sin will have you paying for it forever in hell outside of Christ. The wages, the payment that you and I owe God for our sins is death, eternal death, punishment and wrath, separation from him forever. James 2, verse 10 teaches us that if you have broken one of God's laws, you are guilty of breaking all of God's laws. And Galatians 3, verse 10 teaches that you are cursed if you do not keep all of his law perfectly. Psalm 51, verse 5 says that you are conceived and born in iniquity. It isn't that marriage and conceiving of children is sinful in and of itself. What it means is we're born into a sinful people. We're born into a fallen people in Adam. We're born sin. So the fact that we do violate God's law doesn't make us guilty. We're born guilty. We just express and show that in our sinfulness. Our sins are a result of the fact that we're naturally born sinners. Well, that's the bad news, but it sets up the good news. The other important word we think about with the word all is not only our iniquities, but the other important word connected, forgiven. All of our sins that we'd have to pay in hell forever are forgiven. God forgives all our sins. We have so many sins, and all our sins deserve hell forever. We'd be paying them off forever. We'd never pay the debt we owe God. But God says he forgives all our sins. That is, God pardons them. He does not require you to pay the debt. He does not require you to pay the punishment. Because of the cross of Jesus Christ, where he took on the punishment of hell for you on the cross, because of his blood that he shed for every Christian for all their sins, because of the Father's love. Proverbs 10, verse 12 teaches that love covereth all sins. There's that word, all. God loved his people. He sent his son to save them, and all whosoever trust in him will be saved and have eternal life. It was God's love, remember, the Father's love that motivated that to cover all your sins with the blood of Christ, which is why Christ is called the propitiation of our sins, which is looking back to the mercy seat, literally the propitiatory, the top of the mercy seat that covers over the law so that the law does not condemn us. Where God sits, his feet dwell between the cherubim there recognizing that's where the blood was put once a year in the Holy of Holies by the high priest. Christ has done for real for us in heaven. All of our sins are forgiven because of the love of God sending Christ to save us from our sins. Psalm 32, verses 1 to 2, that is applied in Romans chapter 4, verses 6 to 8, says this, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Now, Paul brings it to the other side and says, who imputes righteousness to us? But he doesn't impute our iniquity. He doesn't make us pay for our sins. And that's a similar concept here in Psalm 103, where our verse 3 says, he forgives all our sins. There's a similar just application of how amazing this is, how wonderful it is that God covers over our sins. Verses 10 through 14, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Thus, beloved, may your prayer through Christ always be Psalm 39, verse 8. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not to reproach the reproach of the foolish. You can pray, deliver me from all my transgressions. You can know that's a prayer you can ask for and will be answered by God, because he says in Psalm 103 that he does. And you can trust that he will. All sin's guilt and all sin's grip, he forgives and frees and delivers. So also pray with confidence, Psalm 25, verse 18. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. May your response to God be renewed gratitude for the refreshed realization of your complete and assured redemption as you revive your relationship with God through Jesus. Be ready to be forgiven today, praying Psalm 86, verse 5, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Now, we know from other scriptures we have to call upon him in truth. But as we call upon him in truth through Christ, who is truth, we are forgiven. He's ready to forgive. Ah, but I'm the exception, Pastor. I can't call on God. My sins are too horrible. They are too many. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've done. You don't know my past. You don't know what I did last night. I am too wicked. I can't be forgiven. I can't forgive myself. That was said to us by the man hanging his dead, holding himself with his arm and hand against the gate, as if he was going to fall in his grief. And as we shared the gospel with him, with many scriptures, including the Lord is ready to forgive, he said, I'm not ready to forgive myself. We tried to help him understand there's nothing you can do about it but be forgiven. And it will change everything. And that's the glorious message of the cross and the gospel. He forgives us of our sins. And that's a restoration of relationship with him and then with others. He mentioned he can't talk to his kids. He doesn't expect them to talk to him. He doesn't think he can be forgiven. Is that maybe how you might be hearing this? You don't know. Not that sin. Ezekiel 18, 21 to 22, verse 28 and 31 to 32. If the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed and keep all my statutes and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live, because he considereth and turneth away from all his transgressions that he hath committed. He shall surely live. He shall not die. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye. And notice he's saying that to his church. He's addressing the church. He's saying, yeah, the context of Ezekiel, I'm putting you into a major disciplinary situation here. But I don't want you to die. Turn and repent of all your sins, and they won't even be mentioned. Isn't that something that we can tend to be very afraid of? If someone finds us out or someone mentions it, I know what you did. But as we think about love covers all sin, what does it say in 1 Corinthians 13? And God does this for us. Love does not keep an account of sins. it does not rejoice in them, but rejoiceth in iniquity and truth and forbearance and love. Well, how can I move on? How can God allow me to sin again? I hear you, but again, like this, I was doing well for a while and I fell. Well, let me share something that I have found very helpful in the pastoral work to pastor you and myself to understand how I know that God can forgive me, okay, but how did this happen? How can it happen? What's the purpose of this? Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 5 on Providence, section 5 is very pastoral for us. The most wise, righteous, and gracious God doth oftentimes leave for a season his own children to manifold temptations and the corruption of their own hearts to chastise them for their former sins or to discover unto them the hidden strength of corruption and deceitfulness of their hearts that they may be humbled and to raise them to a more close and constant dependence for their support upon himself, and to make them more watchful against all future occasions of sin and for sundry other just and holy ends. But I highlight this particularly to you. The Lord will sometimes allow you to sin, even that same sin that you battle to control, to raise you to a more close and constant dependence for your support upon him. After all, what do you do when you've been convicted by the Spirit and you're convinced and you're sorrowful for your sin? If you're a Christian, you don't run from God. You run closer to him. Hebrews, right? Having confidence to approach the throne of grace, seeking mercy in our time of need, drawing us closer, more dependent upon him, showing us, hey, we're growing in sanctification, but don't think you do it of your own strength. Don't think that you have control, and don't think that you aren't utterly dependent upon me. And so, among other things, he can draw us even closer. That's what you and I can struggle with. We are tempted to go farther away from him. But repentance is not trying to get away from a consequence, and repentance is not trying to sweep it under the rug, and repentance is not trying to get away from God and hide. It is apprehending the mercy of God in Christ and turning away from your sin to God. And that's not just I don't want to sin. It's also turning away from the sin of making the sin more powerful than the mercy of Jesus. And acting like I and my sins are bigger than the Lord Jesus Christ, who is resurrected and sits at God's right hand on his throne. I will not let this sin keep me away from Jesus. I will not let the guilt, I will not let what I've ruined keep me away from going back to Jesus and being more dependent on him and trusting him to help me and protect me from that and to remedy everything if I turn to him, because as this man in the parking lot recognized, he couldn't fix anything. He needs Jesus to fix him and then fix everything. Meditate on that, beloved, and look your sins in the eye, which you have been glancing away from, and after confession, leave them at the cross and respond in repentance and be renewed in your walk with God, as David did after confronted with adultery and murder. Yet he responds in Psalm 51, verses 9 to 12, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. He doesn't try to make it right. He doesn't try to say he's not guilty. He just says, please blot out all mine iniquities. And you can be sure by the title of that psalm, he was heavy-hearted, and heavy on his shoulders were two specific heinous sins, especially heinous because he was the king. And yet he said, please forgive me all my iniquities. And Psalm 103 tells us God does forgive all our iniquities. Beloved, know that God always responds with mercy to such men and women with a heart after God. And thus we should respond to him, verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. And thinking towards the resurrection especially, who healeth all thy diseases, the results of our iniquities. Now think about that. You and I can be afraid to witness. You and I can be afraid to show up for church because we know what hypocrites we are. We know how often we fall. And we are afraid to give poor witness. Yes, we should be concerned with a holy witness. We should be concerned to be light and salt. But here's a glorious witness you can give to people. Walking and leaping and praising God because Jesus has forgiven you your horrible sins and healed you. I mean, can you talk to somebody and say, I am just so thankful that God forgave me, the chief of sinners. You know how much hell I should be paying forever, but God has forgiven me all my iniquities through the free, gracious gift of Jesus Christ. Don't you think that's something someone else may want to hear a little bit about? And what better witness could you have than your own being forgiveness of all your sins that you should be paying off forever in hell? You don't need to be perfect to give a witness. You just need to be forgiven to give a witness. And Satan holds us back because we're ashamed of our sins, but we are never ashamed of the mercy of Jesus Christ. We exalt him and we bow ourselves down low when we exalt his forgiveness of all our sins. And you can say, I can't believe it. I'm sure, friend, you know what I mean. The sins that haunt me, the sins that plague me, and often right before I'm about to worship, I can say he's forgiven me all my sins. Because you know, Satan wants to get you to turn right around and not show up for worship. Satan wants to get you turned right around and not do what you were just going to do for Jesus in a big step of faith. Satan wants to turn you right around and not say you're sorry to someone or not say I forgive you to someone. He wants to use all the sins and a sense of unforgiveness to create a lack of reconciliation, which is the opposite of what it is to be the church and to be Christian. So God would remind you today, he has forgiven you all your sins. And beloved, he's also forgiven all the sins of all of your brothers and sisters in Christ. So therefore, how easy is it for you and me to do the same? Especially when Jesus reminds us how much more he's forgiven us than we've had to forgive them. And frankly, how much they really have that we should be asking for forgiveness of them when we're honest. You should just be praising the Lord. Look at the last verse of Psalm 103 as well. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. It just opens and closes. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Oh, my soul, bless the Lord. When you are forgiven a major debt, hey, if you let's say, what do you have? Most of us have some kind of debt. What's your big debt out there? If somebody paid it for you tomorrow, do you think you'd be going around going, oh, wow, that was nice? No, you'd be going around, hallelujah, right? Well, you have been forgiven all your sins that should put you in hell. Bless the Lord, praise the Lord. The forgiveness of sins is to cause you to love much and praise much. Praise the Lord. I'll be thinking about in Psalm 103 here. It talks about in verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far he's removed our transgressions from us. Verse 10, he's not dealt with us after our sins. He's not rewarded us according to our iniquities. There's all these verses that talk about how he's forgiven us all our sins. His mercy is as far as the east is from the west, one of the images. He's taken it so far away from us. And don't we feel like it's always breathing on our neck? But the reality is he's taken it so far away from us. His mercy is as high as the heavens or the earth. It is profound. It is large. It is deep. It is wide. And nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ, including your sins, which is what had us separated in the first place. But they've been directly taken care of. The devil wants to hold you back from serving God by holding you down, thinking that you are not really forgiven all your sins. You know, he probably can come to you often as he does me and say, did God really say all your sins? And then we're tempted to respond like, well, you know, and the next thing he gets confused us. Next thing you know, we're just further and further away from the God, and when we should be walking and talking with him now through Christ. God really forgive? He surely hasn't forgiven all your sins. Look, you and I and God knows about that. Nobody else knows, but you know. Or plenty of people do know about this, and I know they say they forgive you, but you know they don't, and they always remember. No, he wants you to be held down and held back. He will keep reminding you of your sins and constantly accusing you of them, haunting you with the sins of your youth and your present transgressions, bringing them before your mind even as you would dare take the bread and cup of the Lord at his holy supper. But in that supper, Jesus reminds you today you are forgiven all your sins. He says so by saying, "This do in remembrance of me. This is my body which is broken for you. This is my blood of the New Testament which is shed for you for the remission of your sins." That means send them away. Remember the two animals sacrificed once a year, the scapegoat. One of them was the sins go on to the animal that's not slaughtered. They send them away into the desert. And that's a sign that sins are just taken away. They go away. God has thrown all your sins behind his back and into the depths of the sea. Those are scriptural images given to us. Jeremiah 31, verse 34, "For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." What did we see in Ezekiel 18? "I won't mention them." Ah, I mean, doesn't that just take a load off your back? I don't intend to talk about them. I'm not interested in reviewing. Love doesn't keep a record of wrong. Love doesn't rejoice in iniquity. It rejoices in the truth. God loved us so much, he sent his son to pay for our sins, to die for us. We believe in him, and we have everlasting life and an abundant life to live now. He doesn't want us to be plagued. That doesn't mean there's not a place for confession. That doesn't mean there's not a place for repentance and restitution, depending on the public or private nature of things. That doesn't mean that you don't need to work out things temporally to enjoy that life more. But he, and we know God literally remembers everything, but the image given to us, the anthropopathem is, "I don't remember them." You know, I'm getting older, so often the kids will say, "Hey, Dad, do you remember this or that?" I said, "No, I don't remember." And they say, "No, Dad, yeah, you remember it." I believe you. I'm sorry. I don't remember. You know, I used to pride myself on a good memory, but sleep deprivation, I think, is contributing with the babies. But no, I just plumb don't remember. Isn't that an amazing thing? They say, "Don't you remember when I did that thing to you?" "No, I don't remember." I mean, isn't it wonderful to think that people would have sin amnesia, you know, like, that awful thing I did to you. I don't know. Can we just move on and get lunch? I don't know what you're talking about. You know, God says, "I don't remember your sins." So we don't have to keep putting them and reliving them, and the guilt is gone. It's just gone. All your inadvertent sins, he has forgiven. All your secret sins, he has forgiven. All your heinous sins, he has forgiven. All your presumptuous sins. Isn't that a scary thing? "Lord, I did it, and I knew I shouldn't have, and I did it anyways. And I presumed upon your grace. How could I possibly come to you now?" All your presumptuous sins, he has forgiven. All your habitual sins. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't keep working on growing in sanctification, but they are backsliding. They're all our falls. God allows them and works with them to draw you closer to him. All of those things, he has forgiven. And if you don't realize and understand and bathe in the reality, not your feelings about it, but the reality that you're forgiven, you won't grow in grace. You won't step forward in holiness. You'll just go back to it because it will become your master. And you don't think you're free. But you are free indeed in Christ. All those sins that keep coming back to your conscience, God has washed away. Your past sins, your present sins. And let's not kid ourselves. You and I are sinning at every moment we're sitting here. All your future sins. You haven't even done them yet. I mean, isn't that a scary thing to move forward in life? Just knowing I'm going to sin again and I'm going to do some really stupid sins, but they've already been paid for by Christ. They're all forgiven. Christian, let go of yesterday, therefore. Embrace today and rejoice in your tomorrows. All punishment is taken away from you now into eternity, so you can stop punishing yourself all the time and at this moment. And you can stand up, breathe easy, and move forward. Live your lives as new creations in Christ, not condemned, and sin no more. Free from all debts to live wholeheartedly. Because of Jesus on the cross, there is no axe waiting to fall upon your neck. The truth is, you and I walk most of our days as if that was about to happen. Beloved, particularly remember this when you know your last days are about to come. He has forgiven all your sins. Psalm 85, verses 2 to 3. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Because he's taken away all your sin, he's taken away all his wrath and curse due to you for sin, which Christ took upon himself in toto on the cross. Beloved, because God through Christ has forgiven all your sins, none of your sins shall ever be held against you. In the past, in the future, and now, the message for you this morning. Bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. None of your sins shall ever be held against you. I don't know about you, but thinking about that all has put a spring in my step. And I pray it does for you in the Spirit. Let us pray. Almighty God in heaven, we do acknowledge that we tend to have feeble knees and our knuckles drag on the ground and we walk in circles and we stall and we pause and we wait because of our sins and our struggle to feel and believe that we are completely forgiven of everyone. And Lord, because we're not yet in heaven and so we still sin, it's so defeating, it's so humiliating, it's so awful that we show that we still have hatred towards you because that's what sin is. Whereas love is keeping your commandments. We do look to Jesus and thank you that he loved you perfectly on our behalf. And because of your love, he died for us and paid for and covered over all our sins and does not rejoice to recite them, but rejoices instead to recite our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Lord, we acknowledge that we know we need to be regularly challenged of our sins and confronted and converted in new ways, convicted, but Lord, let it always be with turning to you with the mercy of God in Christ in our minds and our desire to turn from sin, including its grip and tuning, including the lingering sense of guilt and its power over us, so that we don't become slave to it again, but to walk in freedom, following Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And so when we face a sin or face the reality of having sinned, may we look to Jesus immediately and hear him say, follow me, and immediately leave everything, including the sins, and just follow. Oh Lord, when we struggle, let us remember you've forgiven us every single one of our sins. Not one of our sins are or shall be held against us. We know there are other qualifications that could be made in more detail, but we choose to focus on this today, O Lord, that you would cause us to just grow in this grace. We ask your blessing on those who have fallen. We ask your merciful work on those who need to be able to say this for themselves in a true, real way. And we pray indeed that it is said truly and real for us, that we have truly trusted in Jesus to forgive us of all our sins. And so we've truly handed them over to him once and for all. For us in Christ, it is finished. We pray, O Lord God, that even our sins would be used, among other things, to draw us closer to you on our knees. More time in earnest prayer, more earnest than it was as a result. Not that we would make ourselves better, but that we would come closer for you to make us better. And to tell us, you do all things well, and in Christ all is well. Send us out refreshed and rejuvenated in our redemption from all our sins, through our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we are just about to hear him say, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the remission of your sins." And we praise these things through Jesus Christ, our Lord, and all your people said heartily, thankful for the forgiveness of all our sins. They all say together, Amen.